You're listening to the Options Insider Radio Network. For more quality options programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com or search for Options Insider Radio Network in your podcast provider of choice. Listeners can also access all of our programming through our mobile app, available in iTunes and on Google Play. Don't forget to follow along with your favorite programs and submit your own questions for the hosts at twitter.com/options, facebook.com/theoptionsinsider, or via questions@theoptionsinsider.com.
This is the Option Industry Council's Wide World of Options. Before we start today's show, investors should know that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. OIC makes no recommendation with respect to any financial firm. OIC does not make any warranty as to the accuracy, usefulness, timeliness, or the continued availability or existence of information created or maintained by others. Multiple leg strategies involve multiple commission charges. Opinions and strategies expressed by others are not necessarily those of OIC, nor does OIC endorse, warrant, or guarantee products, services, or information described or offered by such firms. Commissions, fees, margins, interest, and taxes have not been included in any of the examples used in this show. These costs impact the outcome of all stock and options transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential consequences. None of the information presented in this show should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell security or to provide investment advice. Welcome to the Options Industry Council's Wide World of Options. OIC was created in 1992 to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. And the Wide World of Options radio show is one of the ways the message is spread. OIC also offers a variety of other resources to those interested in learning more about options, including webinars, podcasts, and live events. For more information, check out optionseducation.org. Now, here's your host, OIC's Director of Individual Investor Education, Joe Burgoyne.
Welcome to OIC's Wide World of Options. Thanks for joining us for today's show. Let's get started with industry happenings.
It's time to get a handle on the latest developments from the world of options. It's time for industry happenings.
In today's industry happenings, we'll look at just one listener question because of its importance. First, Lonesome asks a wide-ranging question. How do you manage and define risk in your options trades? Wow, as I say, that's a far-ranging question. How do we manage and define risk in your option trades? Well, Lonesome, you know, as you can tell, I love the question. After all, there's nothing more important than risk management when it comes to investing. So let's start here. There are almost countless types of option trades, some with quantifiable risk, others with unlimited risk. So to manage your risk, you need to start with an options trade that has defined risk. It could be a simple long call or long put position. It could be vertical spreads, long straddles, long strangles. Even the covered call strategy with its significant risk. The point is all of these positions or strategy have a defined risk from the very start. Notice many of the strategy types I mentioned were long options, not short option positions. Remember, on the long side, you can only lose the debit paid. With long stock and short calls, the risk is more substantial, but still defined. Typically, significantly more risk comes from short options positions. To the upside, short call positions with no hedge have unlimited risk. Short put positions are like covered calls as far as risk profile goes, so significantly more, but defined. As far as defining and managing your risk, start with a strategy that has that defined risk. That's number one. Step two, decide when and if you'll get out or close the position if the trade goes against you. If the trade goes your way, also have a plan for that in advance. When will I take profits? Will I just take a portion of the profit and leave part of the position on? These are all factors to consider. Lastly, and we haven't talked about this, but know your own risk tolerance. Having defined risk is one thing, but if the size of that potential loss in the worst case scenario is too large for you to be comfortable with, chances are you need to find another strategy. Bottom line, Lonesome, knowing your own risk levels and knowing which option strategies to employ is a process. But it can be fun. Embrace it. And I wish you good luck. I appreciate the great question. Keep them coming. That's today's industry happenings.
It's time to break down the latest option strategies. That means it's time for Strategy Spotlight.
Joining us today on Strategy Spotlight is longtime OIC instructor Bill Ryan. Howdy, Bill.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Doing great. And thanks for making time to share your ideas with us today. I thought actually the idea that you wanted to talk about was real interesting, you know, and that being what may not be working so well in today's markets. I like that kind of different approach to things. So why don't we start by, you know, maybe talking a little bit about the type of market we're in, and then we can talk about different strategies. Go for it.
Yes. You know, Joe, we had talked briefly, prior to the show, and we always see how investors come to us and say, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I just thought it was a good idea to say, maybe we should tell people what you don't do and sometimes why you don't do them. And the market we've been experiencing lately, up 500, down 100, you know, then back, we close at 250. These markets where we have great moves up and down, you know, very, very volatile markets are the places where there's some strategies that just don't work. And the one in particular that I'm a big favorite of, that when it works well, but when it doesn't work, it doesn't work at all, is the short put. Now, as you know, a short put is an obligation to buy stock. And it's also a bullish strategy because if we sell a put short, we bring in premium, and that premium is ours to keep. Now, if the stock goes up above the strike price, the put expires worthless and we keep that cash. Now, that's nice. That's a nice return. We bring in money for basically for doing nothing, for waiting to buy the stock. But if the stock goes down, we end up buying the stock. Now, that could be our secondary goal, which is buying stock. And if we buy that stock, we buy it slightly below the market price of the stock where it is right now. But in the kind of markets that we've had lately, sometimes that put goes down and goes – the stock goes down and goes down and goes down. The put price goes up and goes up and goes up. And buying the put just becomes too cost prohibitive. So then we end up buying the stock. Now, we get assigned, we buy the stock. We buy the stock a little cheaper than the current market price. But you know what? The stock keeps going down and going down and going down. And now we're stuck with a stock that's, you know, on the downside. So if you like to do puts – you know, you really have to do them in a rising market, in a bull market, not necessarily in a volatile market. We want that steady rise so that stock goes up and goes up and goes up. Or we want the stock to stay steady, maybe drop a little bit where we get a little bit of a dip in the stock where we're able to buy the stock cheaper. And if we do this in the stock that we want, which we should be doing because we have a possibility of owning this, maybe we get a nice dividend out of it. So that's something that doesn't really work in today's market because there's just too much movement in the stock. And for the average person to put on this short put, pay attention, buy it back. No, I'm not going to buy it back today. It's going back up tomorrow. There's just a lot of maintenance involved in paying attention to that position. Now, that's not to say that we have a lot of positions that we put on and forget, but I don't think that the average person sitting at home or sitting at work and be looking at their screen at work and trade the stock in and out all day. So that's just an idea or an example of a stock, of an option strategy, rather, that really doesn't work in today's market.
Well, it's interesting, Bill. And so I think it speaks to a couple points. One is the amount of risk associated with the position. And, you know, when we have a more volatile market like we've had recently, the additional risk of a short put, which, by the way, listeners, is really the exact same position as the covered call might just be too much risk. So, you know, that's a good point. I guess I would come back to you with a question about the short put, though. I mean, it's all about which strike we choose. Can you speak to that a little bit, Bill?
Well, sure. Let's pick an at-the-money put. So we pick an at-the-money put. We probably don't bring in a lot of premium, well, unless we go out in time. So you have two things to look at, the strike price and time. If we pick a shorter term, let's say we pick a 30-day put, we'll bring in a little bit of premium. But we only have 30 days for something to happen. If we pick an at-the-money put with 60 days or 90 days, we have 90 days for something to happen. So we could watch that put fluctuate a little bit. We have 90 days to decide if we're out of this or not out of this. Now, I would say I pay more attention to the price of the put than I do the time. Because, you know, Joe, there's the old saying on Wall Street, your first loss is your best loss. And if you're watching that you know, stock go down, the put price go up and go up and go up, there's a point in your mind where you have to say, that's enough. I've lost enough money. This is not going to come back. And, you know, we all know that, you know, when the losses come, they come, you know, faster than the gains come. So you have to pay attention to that. But as far as the strike price is concerned, picking an in-the-money put will bring you more premium, but will reduce the stock, cost basis of your stock if you're put. Selling an out-of-the-money put will bring in less premium, but give you a higher cost for the stock. So there's your risk. You know, the premium you bring in reduces the risks of owning the stock.
So, you know, as is the case with all investing, it really, I guess, this position or this strategy we're focusing on, short put, it really gets back to, as you said, steady to upward moving markets and then your tolerance for risk. So, as you said, in a market like this, maybe this is not the strategy that folks who aren't in the game, you know, minute to minute or at least a couple times a day, maybe this is not the one to be considering at this point.
The other thing that doesn't work in a down market, obviously, is the long call. And I bring up the long call because the long call and the short put are both bullish strategies. So if you want a slightly bullish, you know, upward bias if you're selling that put, but you want a big bullish bias if you're buying the call. But if you're bullish and you buy the call and the stock goes down, you're going to lose money. The stock is going to the option is going to expire worthless and you're going to lose the premium. But if you buy the call rather than sell the put, you have defined risk. Your defined risk is the cost of your call. You have an undefined profit potential if the stock goes up. But if you're in a bearish market, the stock's not going up. So your defined risk is a little better than having your substantial risk that you have with the short put. But the point is that in a bearish market, bullish strategies do not work. And, you know, it seems kind of silly to say that. It seems kind of obvious. But there are a lot of people who don't look at it that way. They look at a directional bias of just the stock and say, hey, XYZ is doing great. It's going to continue to do great. Well, XYZ may be a great company and may continue to do great, but it suffers because the market drops.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And actually, you know, when you're talking about the type of market, a more volatile market than we've had in the past, and this may be splitting hairs, but if you go on the long call side, chances are, even though you're going to lose, if implied volatilities are up, because of the volatility in the marketplace, I mean, you'll lose, but you will lose less because the premium of that call will expand given the increased volatility. You agree?
That's a great point, Joe. You know, just because the market's going down doesn't mean your option is going to drop. If the market's dropping, but your stock, the implied volatility of your option is going up, going up, going up, you could maintain a price on that option. Now, when we get to expiration, which we don't have to get to expiration, but when we get to expiration, that long call is only worth intrinsic value. Now, 2-3 weeks prior to expiration, there's time value. And with implied volatility up, 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 that time value could still keep you even or maybe in some cases make you a little bit of a profit.
Well, and for our listeners, you know, who may just kind of getting started in the options game, you may want to Google put call parity to get a sense for what we're talking about. As you know, implied volatility increases in the market, chances are the premium levels in your calls and puts will expand, and there is a direct relationship between the price of the underlying stock, your put, and your call. So something else you might want to check out.
That's again, a good idea, Joe.
Well, thank you, Bill. I've got one. What other types of strategies do you think are not, you know, we're talking a little bit about, you know, the bullish type strategy. What other types of strategies in this more volatile market don't really, you know, don't make sense or not optimal?
Well, anything that looks for a tight trading range. And, you know, what comes to my mind automatically is butterflies and condors and, you know, associated iron butterflies and iron condors. And, you know, for anybody who's listening who doesn't know what a condor or a butterfly is, you know, a simple explanation is that it's a multi-legged option strategy that has a limited profit potential and limited risk potential and benefits from a tight trading range in the stock. So we want, you know, when we do butterfly or condor, we want the stock to stay at a certain range. We don't want this movement. This movement upsets our profit potential because when we go up, you know, above a strike or down below a strike, you know, we can hit our maximum loss, and we don't want to do that. We want a tight range in the stock. And, you know, one thing to be aware of when you do these butterflies and condors is, you know, they're three-legged or four-legged, depending on what you do, but they have three or four strike prices. Multi-legs, multiple things that you have to pay attention to. So you pay attention to the stock. You pay attention to three calls or two calls and two puts or, you know, however you want to, structure your condor or butterfly. But it's a more maintenance, more watching, and it's a tight range. We're looking for a tight range. That's how we make money. And we, in the markets we had today where, you know, a week ago we were up, or 2 weeks ago I think it was, we were up 1,000 points in a day. These are unheard of swings in the stock. It's not, I mean, in the market, it's not unusual to have a day where we have a 400 or 500 point swing between up and down. That's not the type of strategy you want to be involved in that type of market.
Well, two thoughts. As we have these volatile markets, you know, sometimes the price of those butterflies and condors can change dramatically. And the kind of the good thing about those strategies is that they are defined risk. Agreed?
Well, yes. The defined risk part is always good. Anytime you can do an option strategy and you know what your risk is, that's always great. It lets you sleep better at night. But if you're looking for
important.
A move, well, that's exactly. That's always important. You know, who doesn't want to sleep at night?
I do have, an unrelated question I want to ask you. But before I go there, any other, you know, strategy type that you want to speak to, you know, before we go in a different direction?
No, I think just basically, you know, kind of recapping that, you know, in the market we have today, you're looking for strategies that benefit from increases in volatility. And, you know, I think it's important that everyone understand that, you know, increased volatility doesn't mean that the market's going down. You know, it means the market goes up or the market goes down. So in today's markets, you want something that benefits from an increase in volatility. Or if you are, you know, prone to pick a direction, you know, you want, I think if you're prone to be bullish, you know, look at something that benefits from a big upside market. You know, just look at straight calls. If you're looking for something, you know, to benefit from a bearish market, look at puts. But in today's market, we're looking for things that benefit from moves in, you know, from moves in volatility and moves in underlying stock.
So given that, and let me run with that a little bit. So essentially, we're talking about long option positions, whether it's straddles, strangles, you know, back spreads, net long option positions. And, you know, through that, we're long implied volatility. Do you have any, you know, rule of thumb that, you know, you're long Vega and, you know, it's going your way, you know, in terms of taking your profits? Because, you know, when the music stops on the Vega side, you know how fast that stuff can crash, you know, post earnings. And I know that's different from what we're talking about. But any rules of thumb, Bill, in terms of when to get out long Vega trades?
Well, I personally just watch my positions. And if I'm making money and I'm making enough money to cover my costs and my taxes. You know, don't forget your taxes in these things. You cover your costs and your taxes. And you look at the, you're watching the stock a little bit, watching the market a little bit, watching. I go by, I really truly believe in the saying, there's no such thing as a bad profit. So if I'm making, if I'm making money, and I don't want to use percentages because too many people get caught up in percentages. If I'm telling you, if I tell you I'm making 10% and it comes down to $100, or if I tell you I'm making 10% and it's $10,000, they're two different numbers. So I look at the dollar amount, and it's a very personal one for every investor. How much money are you making today? And if you do some math, if you can make, you know, $400 a day, you're doing okay. That's not bad. So you look at each position individually. Where is it going? What are the chances that it's going to continue in this direction? And then when you look at that, it's stock and the market. And then take the profit when you think the profit is good. Don't give up. Don't leave too much money on the table. You know, you can always cut back a position. You can do a lot of things to take some profits. But I truly live by this, no such thing as a bad profit.
Good stuff. And I love that comment about, you know, investors really need to know themselves. And, you know, each profit is different for each investor based on, you know, their makeup. So thanks for that. Let me, you know, change it over before we wrap it up here. You know, you've been a wonderful longtime OIC instructor with lots of experiences out on the road, which is, you know, almost always a boatload of fun. Can you talk to our listeners, share maybe one of your most remembered investor experiences out on the road, Bill?
Well, one of my favorite, and, you know, it's you know, kind of ironic to say favorite because there are people who are very hurt by this, but it's a favorite story to tell because it really explains and gets a point across. And it has to do with short puts. And, you know, back in the late 80s, when I was working at E.F. Hutton, somebody might remember that name, but back in the late 80s at E.F. Hutton, we had a broker who believed that selling puts, short puts, was a printing press. And he came in, you know, started out selling, you know, 10 lots, making money. Then he increased to 25s and then to 50s. And before he knew it, he was doing hundreds. 100 lots, bring in a little bit of premium, let them expire worthless or get close to expiration, roll to the next one, and always did it for a credit, and made money. Well, then if you remember the big event, 1987 came along, right? And this is when this was going on. And all of a sudden the market took a 500 something point tumble. And, you know, the short put strategy didn't work at all. And we ended up, this broker ended up, or the customers ended up giving back way more than they took out. And it's just, you know, what it comes down to is not knowing what the market's doing and getting greedy, right? So you go from 10 to 25 to 50 to 100, and this works, it works, it works. But the one time it doesn't work bad. It doesn't work bad. And the moral of the story basically is what we just said before. Know your investing style, know what your limits are, know what your risk is, and pay attention to what's going on in the market and cut your losses when you have the opportunity to cut your losses. And I always tell this story, and I say that people who do the sell puts like this, they sell cheap puts, 10 cents, 15 cents, whatever it is, it's like picking up dimes in front of a steamroller. You know, you run out to the middle of the street, you get your dime, you get to the other side. You do it a few times, and it's fine. But the one time you stumble and the steamroller gets you, it gets you pretty bad. So that's a story that I like to tell because it's a true story. It gets the point across. And I hope people learn something from somebody else's mistake.
Well, Bill, you know, appreciate it a lot. That just the whole idea of what may not be working so well in today's market. I think hopefully folks found that as interesting as I thought that topic was. And then appreciate your sharing your, you know, story of the late 80s. So just want to thank you, Bill.
It's my pleasure, Joe. It's always great to be here and share some ideas. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And that's it for today's Strategy Spotlight.
Next, let's upgrade your options toolbox with cutting-edge trading platforms, devices, and information. Let's talk about tools, resources, and good reads.
We've got some goodies for you today in today's tools, resources, and good reads. The tools I'd like to highlight come from our own website at optionseducation.org. Go to the search bar and enter covered call calculator. Lots of items will come up, but I'd suggest focusing on three. The options calculator, which focuses on option prices. The covered call calculator, which assists with income-generating ideas. And finally, if you have some profits you are considering hedging, take a look at the collar calculator. These three excellent tools for you to consider. Today's research comes from longtime data market pro Henry Schwartz. Look up tradealert.com. That's trade-alert.com. Henry offers incredible market statistics for both the institutional and retail investor. That's trade-alert.com. Do check it out. Lastly, we'll highlight Mike Coe and Mark Guntner's 2016 book, The Options Edge, an intuitive approach to generating consistent profits for the novice to the experienced practitioner. Now, that's a mouthful, but you get the idea. The book covers a lot, and you may know Mike Coe from CNBC's Fast Money. Mike always offers clear messaging, and the same is true in his book, The Options Edge. That's today's goodies in tools, resources, and good reads.
Ready for a little nostalgia? It's time to take a look back.
In today's Looking Back, we'll take a look at options volume in record-setting 2018. For the year, the OCC cleared 5.24 billion contracts. 5.14 billion were option contracts, with the balance being futures contracts. That's a 21.1 and 22.6% increase in each respective category. On a daily basis, the OCC cleared almost 21 million contracts a day at 20,884,000. Breaking it down a little further into three categories, equity options volume increased just under 24% to 18.2 million contracts a day. ETF options volume increased a whopping 25.7% to just under 8 million contracts a day. And index option volume increased 12.8% to 2.24 million contracts a day. It was a big year for trading and using the listed options product. Who knows what lies ahead in 2019? That's a quick look at a record-setting 2018 OCC options volume in today's Looking Back.
You've been listening to the Options Industry Council's Wide World of Options. If you have questions about anything you've heard on today's show, email Joe Burgoyne at options@theocc.com. Or visit optionseducation.org and chat with Investor Services. Interested in connecting with OIC on social media? Like the OIC page on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter at options_EDU and Instagram at optionseducation, and follow their page on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the next episode of Wide World of Options.
The preceding program was a production of the Options Insider Radio Network. For more quality options programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com or search for Options Insider Radio Network in your podcast provider of choice. Listeners can also access all of our programming through our mobile app, available in iTunes and on Google Play. Don't forget to follow along with your favorite programs and submit your own questions for the hosts at twitter.com/options, facebook.com/The Options Insider, or via questions@theoptionsinsider.com.